This is Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tom Gazzola from TSN 1260 with you on this beautiful Wednesday as we get set for Game 3 of the Oilers and Blackhawks qualifying round series. The series knotted up at 1 after a big Oilers victory on Monday. 6-3, they knock off the Blackhawks. Much better effort, much better performance from the Oil. Connor McDavid, all world, taking over like he does. Tremendous hat tricks and beautiful goals, the first two specifically, the second one in particular. Just a much, much better Oilers team and effort overall, indeed. I mean, it's as simple as that. They buckled it down defensively. The penalty kill was great, especially in the second period when they got into some penalty trouble. Good sticks in lanes, blocking shots. They have a game plan for the Blackhawks, and they executed it to a T, and the end result was the win. Now, the power play clicked once. The goaltending was decent. It was good enough to get them the win, and, you know, I know it's low-hanging fruit to blame everything on Mike Smith in Game 1. He did open up the floodgates for the Blackhawks, no denying that, but the team played so poorly in front of him, didn't matter who was in net. Koskinen was good. I did not like the Olli Mäta goal. I know Chris Russell went down and blocked the shot, or tried to, got a piece of it. And I know I didn't like the Slater cuckoo goal either. And that goal truly looked like a goal out of Game 1. Busted coverage. Oilers get crossed up in their own zone, leave a guy wide open. He has time to walk in, dust the puck off, and fire it home. So I didn't think those were particularly great goals. And, you know, examples of the Oilers cleaning things up to a certain extent, but not totally. And Blackhawks took advantage in that regard. And honestly, going to the third period up 4-3, the Oilers had coughed up a couple of leads already in that game. I personally thought that it was still a game that was up for grabs. And then the fourth line, which has been playing good in the two games in the series, clicked with a Neal goal and a Chiasson goal 40 seconds apart. That really put the game on ice at that point. But I thought that until then, anytime Chicago was carrying the puck into the offensive zone, if they were funneling a puck to the net, it had a chance to go in on Koskinen. It just seems like one of those series where you're not really sure, you know, if a puck's going to take a weird hop or something. It just feels like anything that goes towards the net at both ends of the rink has a chance to go in. And the Oilers held the fort, got the job done. Koskinen, sufficient, got it done as well. And look for him to go again in Game 3 as the Oilers and Blackhawks go toe-to-toe one more time. I really do think it's anyone's series. We'll see what happens. But that was a much, much better overall performance from the Oilers. And we'll see if they can continue that or build off of it. I'm sure Chicago will be bouncing back strong. That's expected. I get the sense that this series is going the distance. It's a toss-up, really, even after what happened on Monday. In my opinion, we'll see. I don't think we've seen the last of the Blackhawks, and who knows what happens tonight. I think it's going to be a tight game, a one-goal game, and it could be anyone's game, quite frankly. Anyway, on this episode of Locked On Oilers, we're going to hear from the host of Locked On Blackhawks, Jack Buschman, one more time to share his thoughts and opinions on what we've seen through two games. Hey, the New York Rangers have been eliminated. The Florida Panthers are on the cusp of being eliminated by the Islanders. We've had some great series of the Jets. They're down 2-1 at Calgary after those teams went toe-to-toe and back-to-back nights. And things are really moving. It's an onslaught of hockey. It's been fantastic. By the way, in the meantime, there's been so much hockey news. Jesse Puljujärvi signs a one-year extension with Karpat in Finland. Not really a surprise there, but there is an out clause for him to come back to the National Hockey League. So that's good. At least he'll continue to play because the Finnish League should be getting going soon, as European leagues tend to start a lot sooner than the National Hockey League in traditional years, which this is clearly not a traditional year given all that's gone on with COVID. If you need more of a hockey fix and want some players' perspectives into what it's like playing in the postseason, what it's like playing with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, what it's like playing in the bubble, James Neal has a great article that he wrote in the Players Tribune. Gives you a nice taste of his mindset and where the team's at and what motivates them and what he's gone through the last couple of years and what it's like to play with McDavid and Draisaitl. So that's over at the Players Tribune. Great read. some interesting tidbits. And the funny part is when he talks about being the dad of the team because all the guys play video games all day long. So check it out if you got some time to kill. It takes about 5 minutes to read through that bad boy. And yeah, it's going to be a great episode as we get set for game 3 between the Oilers and the Hawks. More coming up with Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks. This is Locked On Oilers. Tom Gazzola with you. Let's go into my chat and conversation with the host of Locked On Blackhawks, Jack Bushman.
Tom, thanks for joining me this morning. How are you doing? And what are your thoughts and takeaways so far through the first two games of this best of five series?
Jack, always great to do this with you. I'm doing great. Beautiful day in the Big E, as we like to call it. And so far, it's been a lot of fun. What a roller coaster ride in two games. And I'm sure it just continues tonight when the Hawks and Oilers go toe-to-toe in game three. Game one, that was an adventure for sure. Obviously, if you're a Hawks fan, you're loving what you saw in game one. I mean, offensive explosion from the top line. Kubalik, absolutely on fire in game one. Nice. And Taze was fantastic, and Saad was a good piece of that line as well. And then the Oilers just imploded. I mean, watching them in the first minute of game one, when they coughed up a couple of odd man rushes in the first minute of that game, I'm going, this is big time trouble. This is one of those games where it's going to go sideways in a hurry. And then they got a lead in that game on a power play goal by McDavid, McDavid really early. And I'm like, that is such a phony lead. And sure enough, you get Mike Smith serving up the Chicago deep dish pizza behind his own net. Dylan Strome banks it in, and he basically opened up the floodgates for the Blackhawks. But quite frankly, Jack, I think that it didn't matter if Smith coughed that one up. I think Chicago was playing better. They were the better team the entire game. And just the Oilers were not prepared mentally and physically. And Chicago was going to win that game just with the way the Oilers came out and played. So they bounced back. It was interesting to see how they bounced back, because people were wondering if this team, there was some people in the media questioning Connor McDavid's heart. Some of them questioned his post-game interviewing skills and calling him out for that. And of course, that's clickbait, and not, you know, not to name names, but that's definitely clickbait. That's classic stirring the pot. And that's the game outside the game, if you will. And McDavid responded in the best way possible by just lighting up the Hawks in game two. And quite frankly, the Oilers really tightened things up, Jack. And I don't think the answer was Mikko Koskinen that was the big difference maker. It was the Oilers were so atrocious in their own zone. In the game in general, they were one and done in the offensive zone. Anytime they got into the Hawks zone, you could have thrown Ed Belfour, early 90s Blackhawks in there. You could have thrown Glenn Hall in there. You could have thrown Tony Esposito in that for the Oilers. You could have thrown Curtis Joseph. I don't care who you could have thrown in there. Grant Fuhr, that's how poorly the Oilers played that. If you threw any of those legends in net that I just named, for the Oilers in that game, they would have lost. That's how poorly they played in game one. And they cleaned it up a bit in game two. But quite frankly, Jack, I think Chicago has a chance in this series and a chance to take this thing a distance. And who knows who wins it?
Yeah, it was certainly a big response from the Oilers defensively as well. We heard Oilers head coach Dave Tippett kind of call out Oscar Klefbom and Adam Larson after that first game. And I thought they were much better. So was Darnell Nurse and Ethan Bear. And also, Tom, I thought your guys' penalty kill really rose to the occasion. A lot of blocked shots out there. Blackhawks weren't able to get anything going on their four-man advantages on Monday after cashing in for three power play goals in Saturday's Game 1 contest. I think that was a huge difference maker in the outcome of Game 2.
Jack, faceoffs were key in Game 1, and it seemed like the Blackhawks were doing a great job winning faceoffs clean in the offensive zone. And then it was bang-bang plays, which would eventually lead to goals, some of them immediately, some of them a little bit later. But the Chicago Blackhawks were actually, they were beating the Oilers to the pucks in game one. That's not necessarily what happened in game two. The Hawks were more physical in game one in terms of, I'm not saying big hits or anything like that, but physical in terms of getting into Oilers players' equipment, grinding things out, winning the battles, and just playing a tougher game overall. To the point where you could just see that Chicago was way more determined than Edmonton was in game one. And I think the script was flipped a bit in game two. You know, it was an eye opener for the Oilers. They got shellacked at home, and it was a lesson that reminded the Oilers that this is the postseason. Nobody gives you anything in the postseason. You're not out there to play like a men's league style game. It's not game 46 in mid January on a Tuesday night in Minnesota. This is the postseason. If you lose a couple of games and you don't show up, you're done. See you later. Your season's over. And if you do not provide the effort, that's exactly what happens. And I think that was a wake up call for the Oilers. And quite frankly, I'll reiterate this, Jack. It could still go anyway. Anyone's game tonight and anyone's series by the end of it.
Blackhawks and Oilers are knotted up at 1-1 through two games so far. Big game three tonight at 9:30 Central Time, where I'm staying up till midnight, 1 a.m. Then I got to write a post-game report after. So it's a late night here in Chicago, but it's definitely going to be an interesting contest tonight. I think a big key for the Blackhawks that we didn't see in game two was they weren't ready right out of the gate. We saw Connor McDavid score two goals in the first 4 minutes and 5 seconds. And Tom, us Blackhawks fans knew that the Oilers were going to come with a strong push right out of the gate. And you know the Blackhawks had to be aware of that as well. And regardless, they wound up down 2-0 to the hands of the best player of the NHL, taking over and doing what he does. And I thought Connor McDavid, although he was tremendous in game one as well, he racked up 4 points in a losing effort. He really took over this game from the get-go and was impressive and without a doubt the best player on the ice. And the Blackhawks really need to key on him going forward. I think that's obvious. But what other Oilers were impressive to you in game two, Tom? Not like we talked about Connor McDavid a ton, but we didn't hear much from other guys because McDavid really took the scene for himself.
Yeah, and that second goal was a thing of beauty. The first goal, too, the way I described it is it looked like when you play street hockey as a kid and you're using an old tennis ball that's got all the fuzz worn off and it just bounces like crazy. And, you know, there's that one kid that can just handle the tennis ball and it doesn't affect him and he can score a million times. It was amazing how he scored that second goal, too. When we were watching, I went to the game and I was like, was that not a hand pass by Josh Archibald? It turns out McDavid flipped over his stick and knocked the puck down. It was just phenomenal. And that's what he does. But Jack, to your question, there were other players that were really good in that game. And consistently over two games, the fourth line from the Oilers has actually been a pleasant surprise. They're big body guys in Jujhar Khaira, Alex Chiasson, and James Neal. And they're kind of asserting themselves physically. They're not the fastest guys. They don't skate particularly well, but they know how to play playoff hockey. And Chiasson and Neal in particular, Jujhar Khaira has been around a little bit. He was around in 2017. And they are kind of pushing the Hawks around a bit because the Hawks aren't a particularly big team. Neither is their defense. And we saw them with those two quick strikes, 40 seconds apart in the third period. That put the game on ice because I truly felt at 4-3 going into the third, Jack, that the way Chicago looked, anytime they get it to the offensive zone, there was a chance that if they funneled a puck to the net, it could get in and slip past Mikko Koskinen. I look at the cuckoo goal, busted coverage. It looked like a goal out of game one that the Oilers gave up where they were crossed up in their own zone, left the guy wide open, let him walk in and take a shot. And then you look at Olli Mäta's goal, and you know, I know it went off of Chris Russell. He went down to block it, but it was a soft goal. And
definitely.
And then until those two quick strikes from the fourth line, I really thought that Chicago was in that game and that it was anybody's game. I know that Connor McDavid was dominant, but still, I was like, you know, the Oilers aren't out of the woods just yet. And those two goals really did it. But the Oilers need to tighten up defensively one more time. You mentioned Klefbom and Larson struggled mightily in game one, cleaned it up a bit in game two, but still not particularly great. So that has to happen for the Oilers. And if the Blackhawks, I mean, they have the offensive weapons, the young guys, to me, Kirby Dach, Jack, my goodness, he is going to be a player. He's like Getzlaff, but not quite with the same mean streak when Getzlaff was in his prime. But, you know, I'm sure when he gets his groove at the NHL level, he'll develop that mean streak and know how to assert himself with that big body. There's some great up-and-coming talent on the Blackhawks. And quite frankly, they're proving themselves to be dangerous already in this playoff series.
One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so that they know that we sent you. More from Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks as we continue to get you set for the Oilers and Hawks in Game 3.
Yeah, Kirby Doc was really good in Game 2. He had a multi-point performance as a 19-year-old. Love to hear that for us Blackhawks fans. And not only was he really solid while on the power play, moving the puck around and just gaining confidence overall in the offensive zone, he's winning a lot of board battles to create opportunities. On Slater or on Olimata's goal, he won a board battle after holding the puck, I believe, against two Oilers in the corner for about 15, 20 seconds while the Blackhawks were able to get a change. They wind up winning that battle, and Olimata puts the puck in the back of the net. And then same thing on Slater Cuckoo's goal. He wound up winning a battle, and the puck finds Cuckoo in an open zone with no one around. So Kirby Doc's really been a difference maker on that third line with Alex DeBrincat so far. Patrick Kane was double shifting with that line in Game 2 as Drake Caggiula was suspended for his illegal check to the head of Tyler Ennis. John Quenneville, interestingly, slotted into the Blackhawks lineup, Tom. I'm not really sure what head coach Jeremy Colliton was doing there. I understand that Quenneville has a little more size than Blackhawks 13th forward Dylan Secura does, and Quenneville can play a little more physical like Drake Caggiula does, but I didn't really understand what that decision was all about. Quenneville really only played 3 minutes of meaningful time. He saw another 3 minutes in garbage time when the Oilers were already ahead 6-3. So I think it's going to be big for the Blackhawks to get Drake Caggiula back into their lineup, get all four lines rolling, get Kane solely focused on getting Nylander and Strome going, because that line didn't do all that much in Game 2. Dylan Strome was a -4. Absolutely horrendous. So I think that's a big focus for the Blackhawks going forward. All right, Tom, let's get right to it here. Finish the rest of the sentence for me. The Edmonton Oilers defeat the Chicago Blackhawks in Game 3 if...
if they continue what they did in Game 2, and that's getting to pucks quickly, being physical, asserting themselves, and dictating the pace. That's something that the Oilers at times struggle with. They're capable of doing it against the best teams. And it's just a maturation thing, Jack. So if Edmonton doesn't rest on its laurels after Game 2 and really focuses in and understands that this game starts at 0-0 and that they could be facing elimination if they don't win tonight, then they're going to be in trouble. So they need to just refocus, maintain what they were doing, and clean up a little bit in the defensive zone even still.
And for the Blackhawks, I think they defeat the Edmonton Oilers in Game 3 if they don't let Connor McDavid take over the game, which is easier said than done. But he already has 4 goals and 2 assists in just 2 games. I think if the Hawks can limit him to just 1 point and keep him semi-quiet, it's just ridiculous even saying limit him to 1 point. We're in the NHL here. Limit him, just kind of keep him quiet as they've done with Leon Draisaitl so far. He does have 1 goal and 2 assists in 2 games. But that kind of feels like a moral victory for us Hawks fans right now, considering what McDavid has done. But I also think the Blackhawks have to get their power play going. I don't think it's a surprise that they came out on top in Game 1 after cashing in for 3 power play goals. But then in Game 2, with the game on the line in the second period, they came up empty and went 0-4, wound up losing the contest in the third period because they weren't able to corral the lead and take advantage of those opportunities. So I do think the penalty kill, they did have a solid bounce back game, and that's going to be a big key as well. But we need to see the Blackhawks power play pick it up, because if they can keep up with the Oilers special teams game, that puts them in a good position to win the 5-on-5 battle. in order to win the rest of the series. All right, Locked On Blackhawks listeners, make sure to go follow Tom on Twitter at Tom Gazzola and at Locked On Oilers for some really good stuff from the Oilers side of things throughout this best of five series. Tom, it's always fun when we get together to do these. Maybe we can join up one more time after the series concludes this weekend for a full recap or something if you got the time.
Always a pleasure, Jack. I'm absolutely up for it, and let's enjoy this game tonight.
Big thank you to Jack for doing that. We'll probably have another crossover episode at some point this week. The series moving quickly. Hearing that game four is probably in the 4:30 slot on Friday. We're going to wait for confirmation on the time, but that was the rumblings that I was hearing as we get set to wind down this qualifying round series. Should be a good one tonight. If you're going to enjoy it at a bar or a party, do so responsibly. Don't drink and drive, but do have fun indeed. That does it for this edition of Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NHL. Myself and Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, I've got you covered on Locked On NHL every Friday.